Ali, thank you for tuning in to Palawave Radio Station. Our next program is Brother Steve's sermon.
Ali, I'm Brother Steve Mapes Taywid here on Palawave Radio. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Baylao, or wherever you may be, I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Adubaklo bungamu. Adubaklo bungamu. I am so very pleased and thankful to be able to share with you the Word of God today, my friends, the encouraging Word of God. And I'm in an exciting story, and I think just a powerful lesson about the assurance of deliverance, the assurance of God's help, the assurance that we are not alone in this life, that we have God's help, that we have His deliverance now in this life and in the life to come. He assures us of these things. And I want to share some wonderful power promises about the assurance of salvation, the assurance of deliverance, and ultimately our deliverance may be into the kingdom of God and might not be in this life. It might be in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, that's where our deliverance is. That's where our ultimate assurance of salvation is. But God is an ever-present help in times of trouble in this life. He is always there with us and near us and close to us, encouraging us and strengthening us. He is our advocate, our comforter, and I want to assure you in the Word of God what He says. And I've just found some wonderful power promises this week I want to share with you, and I want to go with you a great story in the book of Nehemiah about how God helps His people. He gives us the strength, and He guides us as He leads us in life to deliver us in the difficulties that we're facing. But there's principles we need to live by. There's promises we need to claim. And so I want to share these with you as we go through the message I've entitled Nehemiah, the Assurance of Deliverance. And you may know that Nehemiah was the one who King Artaxerxes sent back to Jerusalem after it was destroyed, you know, a generation later, to rebuild the wall. And then with Ezra, the temple was rebuilt and it was just a joyous celebration time. Following a very difficult time in the generation before, but hey, God has a plan to restore His people, and we need to be claiming the promises of God. So I want to go through these power promises, go through this story, Nehemiah, the assurance of deliverance, and I just pray it will be a blessing to you as you go through this story as well. The story is going to be beginning in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And before I go there, I'm going to be reading some power promises from the book of Psalms, my friends. Oy, love this stuff. It's just so encouraging. Found these power promises going through my daily Bible readings. I'm in the book of Psalms, and I've just loved these promises that I found. And so I want to share them with you. So, before we jump into the story, Nehemiah, the assurance of deliverance, we have these power promises in the book of Psalms. The first one is Psalm 71 and verse 23. Medangus, I praise you because you have delivered my soul. Now the psalmist in this psalm is saying, it's a done deal. You've delivered my soul already. And the psalmist is speaking in past tense. It's already done. God has delivered our souls. It's not something we have to wonder about. Read it again. Here's the King James Version. It says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. The NIV, it says, which you have delivered. In other words, there's an ED at the end. The soul has already been redeemed. The soul has already been delivered. We don't have to wonder about that. For those that trust in the Lord, given their heart to the Lord, and if you want your soul to be delivered, if you want your soul to be redeemed, then I would encourage you through this message today. You don't have to wait. Accept the Lord. Say, Lord, I want my soul redeemed. I don't want to wonder about that. I want it to be a done deal. And it will be. It's a done deal. God says there's nothing, it says in the Gospel of John, there is nothing that can take us out of His hands. And God has some big hands. some big, powerful, strong hands. You can't have any bigger and stronger hands than that, all right? And there is nothing that can take us out of his hands. And he says that over and over again in John. And here he's saying that we praise God because he's delivered our souls, our soul which he has redeemed. That's why we can rejoice and be thankful and happy, praising God, because it's a done deal. We're in the hands of a big, strong, and awesome God. And there's comfort in that. You know, life is hard. There are difficult things that we face. It's good to know that our soul is in big, strong, loving hands, that he's not going to let us go. So there's an assurance that comes. Okay, so you're like, Brother Steve, I want some more of this assurance. All right, let's flip on a little bit earlier into Psalm 69. I'll share another one with you. This is just awesome stuff. And I just love the tone of this psalm in Psalm 69. Listen to this one. Psalm 69, beginning at verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy. In the multitudes of his mercy. It's not just a little bit of mercy, it's a lot. And by the way, mercy, I've shared this many times, but mercy is sparing us from a punishment we deserve. And then grace is bestowing his free gift upon us, unmerited favor, mercy, multitudes of mercy, grace. That's what our God is about. That's what our God is about. Let's rejoice in the truth. As for me, my prayer is to you. In other words, we're making a decision. We're making a decision every single day who we're going to live for. It says in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Decision I made. It's a done deal. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to pray to him. We're going to trust in him. We're going to ask his blessings. We're going to honor him. And yes, we stumble and fall and make mistakes all over the place. But we get back up again. You know, David Jeremiah, one of the wonderful quotes he gave about being a Christian, he said, being a Christian, it's about falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up all the way to heaven. That's what it's about. And we have God's grace to lift us up and to carry us. And so, yes, we make a decision. I'm going to pray to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. And that time is now, today. O God, in the multitude of your mercies, hear me. Now listen to this, Medangus. Hear me, O Lord, in the truth of your salvation. You know what that's telling me? This is a done deal. Another translation says, answer me with your sure salvation. It's a sure thing. It's not a wavering thing. Diak. It's a sure thing. Answer me, Lord, with your sure salvation. Hear me in the truth of your salvation. Oh, my friends. You know, if you've ever wondered if your salvation is kind of one of these, you know, if-then-maybe kind of a things, then you need to hear these promises. Salvation is a sure thing. The thing you need to do is to give your heart to God and say, Lord, I stumble and I fall. I fall short. I'm a sinner. God, you're a rock. God, you're a rock. You're a fortress. Your name is a strong and mighty tower that we can run to. God, you're a sure thing. I'm going to put my life in your hands. You're a big and loving God with a multitude of mercies and loving kindness. I'm going to continue here. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered. Not just our soul in the assurance of our salvation. Look at what it's talking about in the present tense. It says, deliver me from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. You know, when you're in deep waters, it's not something that you need deliverance from in a few days. You need it now. So he's saying, deliver me out of the deep waters. You know, I had an auntie of mine, loved very much, just got a Facebook message from my cousin, her son, this morning. And, you know, she was in a boat that capsized between Angaur and Bleelyo. And let me tell you what, that is some deep shark-infested waters. That's where the drop-off is. I mean, that is the deep water, okay? And that's not a place you want to be capsized. And so when you're in places like that, let me tell you what, you're praying, deliver me out of the deep waters now. All right? Some of these psalms are just so wonderful because it talks about, God, we need your help now. Oh, Lord, hear us now. And then it says, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me out of the deep water. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Oh, this is awesome. In other words, you know, it's talking about all the things we need deliverance from, my friends. Deliverance in life now. Deliverance from the pit. And I'm correlating that to a deliverance in the afterlife as well. Deliverance in the assurance of salvation. And then it says, hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Do not hide your face from your servant. You know, look at the humility. God, we're just your humble servants. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. You know, I really needed to hear these words. And if you're like me, you need to hear what God has to say to us. He is there to hear us. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. And my friends, I want you to understand the assurance of salvation we have in the future and the present help we have from God now. God's a sure thing, okay? That's why we need to give Him our heart and our soul and our love and our admiration and make a decision. I'm going to pray to you, God, and I'm going to have my family turn to you. Because you're a sure thing, God. You're big and you're mighty. You're loving. And you're there for us. In Baylau, wherever we're at, even if we go off island, God, you are there for us. You never leave us. And you love us. And you're near to us. I have all these wonderful promises I'm going to continue to share here on Palau Wave Radio. It's Brother Steve with the message, Nehemiah, the assurance of deliverance, if you're just joining us. And we're going to jump into the story in Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, Nehemiah had a problem. And we just talked about problems we have when we're in deep water and we're needing God's ever-present help. So Nehemiah prayed. Okay? Step number one. It says, for several days, I'm in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. He's thinking about Jerusalem, how their home, the beloved city, was destroyed. And he's a foreigner now, way off in Babylon. And he's praying. And so he's praying. It says, for several days I mourned. I did not eat. I prayed to God. There's a good lesson there. Lesson number one, let's pray to God. Lord God of heaven, you are great, and we stand in fear of you. By the way, while we are in awe of God, it's not like the fear of being beaten or something like that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And if you want to be on the Lord's side, okay, you want more goodness in your life, you want God's blessings in your life, then the fear of the Lord, my friends, is to hate evil. And I can think about all the evil things plaguing our beloved islands. The evil of drugs, the evil of abuse, and all of those things. And our enemy, Satan. And if you hate those things, okay, and if your heart, you want those things to lose, okay, then you're on the Lord's side. Okay, let me tell you, that's like the easiest decision ever. All right? That's a no-brainer. I want to be on the side of God's loving deliverance. Want deliverance from abuse? Want deliverance from drugs? Want deliverance from addictions? We want God's help. That's a no-brainer. That should be the easiest decision ever. All right? No-brainer. And then we cry out to God for help. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us and He wants to give us that help. One of the reasons why I'm sharing on Palau Wave Radio is so we understand the nature of God. God is not far distant. Diak. God is not just waiting for us forever to just stumble and mire and sink and drown. Diak. And I want you to understand that God is near and that He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. You like, Brother Steve? Where does it say that in the Bible? All right, I'll tell you. In this example, we're talking about Nehemiah. Now, he's discouraged and brokenhearted because the beloved holy city was destroyed. Now, granted, it was destroyed because the people turned to idols. Okay, they turned their backs on God. They cheated on God. They did horrible, horrible sins. They were doing terrible things and turning to idols. And so, let me tell you what, you let poisons and bad things into your life, and you're going to get sick, all right? Bad things are going to happen. It's like, you know, A plus B equals C. That's why we have to not allow these evil things into our lives, okay? Pray for help against drugs. Pray for help against gambling. Pray for help against binge drinking. Pray for help against the anger that sometimes can too easily swell up within us, all right? We need to pray for help from all of these things. And then in Psalm 46, there's a wonderful psalm. This is a psalm of deliverance during a difficult time when Jerusalem was under attack from Sennacherib, and a wonderful king by the name of Hezekiah turned to God. And this psalm was written in reflection of that time, and it says, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Yours and mine, all right? Now listen to this. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. That's God's word right there. King James says, a very present help in times of trouble. Other translations say, an ever-present help in times of trouble. What am I gleaning out of that? He's close. He is present. He is there in the time of trouble, not far away. You know, it's all the skeptics out there. It's the unbelieving skeptics. There's too much of that garbage that you hear out in the world, perhaps in different, you know, TV shows or movies, skeptics. There's just too many voices of doubt out there. And we got to reject that stuff because God's word says that he's a refuge. A refuge, that's a place where you go in times of difficulty. You know, refugees, they go to a place of safety, a place of protection, because they're refugees, and so that's where they go. And they go there for refuge, but it says, God himself is our refuge, and he's our strength. When we need strength, we go to him. You know, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You need some strength, my friends? You need to get in the Word of God. You need to hear his encouraging promises, like what I'm reading to you right now. And you need to rejoice in the assurance of his salvation. And you need to accept the fact that it's a done deal. He has promised us the assurance of salvation. We need to accept his word for what it is. And that is true, and that is powerful. He is our ever-present help. Why we need to be turning to him. So that's what Nehemiah did. He turned to God, who is the ever-present help in times of trouble. Now, this passage that I read in Psalm 46, it was written long before Nehemiah, okay? And so Nehemiah is reading this, and he's claiming this promise, okay? Same promise that was given to Hezekiah, same promise that's written in the book of Psalms. Okay, he had these, the Word of God was there, and in fact, they ended up reading the Word of God, the law, upon the wall by Ezra the priest. So anyway, claiming these promises, and he's praying to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, look at me, hear me, as I pray day and night. So I might ask you, my friends, are you crying out to God regularly? Are you crying out to God? And some of you might be saying, oh, I'm nothing special. Why would God hear me? Well, God is no respecter of persons. That's what he tells us in the scriptures. So in other words, God's going to hear you, just like he's going to hear Nehemiah, who turned to him in faith and cried out to him day and night. So my friends, if you're in deep trouble, if you're needing God as your ever-present help in times of trouble, which is what Psalm 46 says, you need to be crying out to him day and night, saying, God, help me. I need your help because you're bigger than me. Then what else did Nehemiah do? It says, I pray day and night for the people of Israel. And we could say, for the people of Balao, or you can insert whatever place that you're from. If you're visiting from off island, you're from Japan, Say, hey, I need your ever-present help for the people of Japan. You're from the States. I need your ever-present help for my people in the States. You know, you're coming from Yap. I need your ever-present help for your people in Yap. God made us all. We can cry out for God's help on behalf of His people. Because there's people from Yap in Beilau that are serving God. All right? There's people from Japan in Beilau that need the Lord. There's people from the States in Beilau that need the Lord. And let me tell you what, a lot of them don't know the Lord. They need the Lord. And we need the Lord. And so what did Nehemiah say? He says here in verse 6, I confess that we, the people, have sinned. And he inserted the name of his people from Israel, but we could insert the from the place of Beilau, from Yap, from Japan, from the States. We have sinned. He says, my ancestors and I have sinned. We have acted wickedly against you and have not done what you commanded. We have not kept the laws that you gave through Moses your servant. Remember now what you told Moses. If you, the people of Israel, and I'm going to insert the name Beilau, are faithful to me, are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. That's exactly what happened to Israel. If we're not careful, that's exactly what's going to happen in Beilau. That's why we need to be turning to him right now with full purpose of heart. But he said, but if you turn back to me and do what I have commanded, I will bring you back to the place that I have chosen to be worshipped, even though you are scattered to the ends of the earth. Lord, these are your servants, your own people. You rescued them by your great power and strength. Listen now to my prayer and to the prayers of all your other servants who want to honor you, and give me success today. I'm going to say that one again. Give me success today, my friends. Pray it with me. God, give me success today, God. And then he says, and make the emperor merciful to me. You know, while doing the victory rallies around Beilau, we gathered in the old OEK legislative hall there and had a time of repentance on behalf of the people of Beilau. And there were leaders of Beilau there, ambassadors, and we prayed for repentance on behalf of the people of Beilau. And we asked for God's help. We asked forgiveness. We asked for God's blessings on our children. We asked for God's blessings on our leadership. We asked for God's blessings upon the people. And we asked for forgiveness. And you know what, my friends? When we turn to the Lord, you might say, I'm nothing. But when we turn to the Lord, God sees these things. And he sees the condition of our sincere, repentful heart. And my friends, it pleases him. It pleases him when we're drawn near, when we humble ourselves, when we lower ourselves. And we acknowledge our sin, it pleases him. And you know what? Then he is faithful to forgive us. You're like, oh, I don't know if he can forgive me. He can forgive you. He will forgive you because he is a forgiving God. It is in his very nature. It is what makes him who he is. The fact that he is so forgiving, that he is so loving, and that he intentionally forgets all of our sins. You're like, Brother Steve, I want to hear some of this. All right. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what it says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and there's no truth in us. That's why we got to be honest. And just let me tell you what, we're sinful people, so we got to just admit it. We stumble and fall. But it says in verse 9, if we, you and I, confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise to do what is right. He will forgive us from our sins and cleanse us. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God does. The key is for us to confess and then he will cleanse. The Good News translation says he will purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what he does. He does the cleansing. He does the purifying. What we do is offer our hearts and say, God, I'm giving my life. I'm giving my sinful life to you. Cleanse me, purify me. And he will, and he does. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is a present help to cleanse us. He is a present help to purify us. And then, as he's pleased with us, he's looking upon us, and now he doesn't see us as that sinful person in dirty, filthy rags of unrighteousness. Ndiak, in that instant, in that moment that you just say, God, I just want to give you my heart, in that instant, in that moment, the moment that your heart is softened, the moment that your heart is turned, the moment that your heart yearns within yourself and says, God, I want your help. God, I need your help. God, I'm asking for your help. And the moment that your heart understands that he is merciful, that he is loving, that he is kind, that he is approachable, and that he's our ever-present help. The moment that your noggin understands this, that's the moment he's there, forgives us, and is helping us, already helping us. When you just cry out to God, before the words have even left your lips, he's already intervened. He's already there. And if that is warming your heart right now, my friends, and it should because it's true, then that is the presence of God reaching out to you to let you know you are loved and you are not forgotten and he will not leave you to drown in the deep. Diak, because he's our ever-present help. My friends, that's the kind of loving Savior that we have. And that's why he's called a Savior, because his job is all about saving. And he's good at it. He's really good at it. You're like, Brother Steve, tell me some more. All right, let's go back into the story of Nehemiah. We'll learn about how he is a Savior because he saves. So Nehemiah prayed. That's step number one. And we've been talking all about praying and crying out to God. And he did all this praying before approaching Xerxes, the king. Okay, and by the way, God used Xerxes, God used Darius, God used different leaders. And you know what? One of my points here is God uses people in leadership around us. Okay? He will use people in leadership around us to be a blessing to our lives. And sometimes it's helpful to go right to the top. All right? When we did the victory rallies, who did I ask for a blessing? The Council of Chiefs. All right? Obis, Arubakul, Belau, Ibadul, Reklai, and all the chiefs. And then when we needed benches to do the rallies, like in Irai, where did those benches come from? The president's office, right? I went to several leaders and just said, help. And you know what? The help came. It didn't always come in the way that I was planning on it, but the help came, all right? God is faithful, and he will use people in leadership around us. Went to the president's office, got help with the benches. Sarangal sent a boat so we could travel down to Blilio to do the victory rally down there. So God uses people in leadership around us. All right? Our job is to be a good follower and a good loyal worker. And that's what Nehemiah was. He was the one who delivered the wine cup to the king. And that's a very trusted position. Because before in case somebody bad is trying to poison the king, you got the cupbearer, and their job is to taste that wine and to taste that, 7-Up or Dr. Pepper or whatever it is that the king is drinking, right? Like the water, okay? Whatever it is the king wants to drink, okay? Mango juice, gotta love that stuff. I know it's my daughter's favorite. I had to bring back 10 cans of that stuff because my daughter loves drinking mango juice. And by the way, going back to school and as a senior this year in high school, just love her. Anyway, that's a side note. My daughter loves mango juice. But whatever it is that the king loves to drink, okay, that's what the wine cupbearer will drink to make sure that there's no poison in it. And so Nehemiah was in a very trusted position because he was a good follower and a good and loyal worker. Why am I saying that? Because that's what we need to be. Good followers, good loyal workers. You know, Brother Steve, I was in the military, and one of these brothers, we were sharing the gospel in one place, and he said, you know, you're really lucky you were in the military so you can have a disciplined life. You know, you're blessed to have a disciplined life. And I never really thought about it. I guess following orders, and, you know, the commander says jump, and you say how high, right? So we need to be good, disciplined, loyal workers. If you need to be more loyal, be more loyal. You need to be a better follower, be a better follower. Just do it, all right? Just be a good worker. It's as simple as that. And the more you do it every day, the more it becomes a part of your life. So Nehemiah was a trusted and loyal worker, and so the king trusted him. Now, this is a key here. We talked about the first step being to ask God. My friend, step number two, sometimes you need to ask those in positions of authority around you for help. And this is where walking with the Lord is really important, because God touches your heart and He lets you know when is the right time to ask, okay? There's a time to not ask somebody in leadership around you, and there's a time to ask. But when it comes to asking God, we need to always be asking God, okay? So he prayed for wisdom, and then he asked the king for help. And I mentioned when we did these victory rallies in Beilau, I asked leaders for help, and I asked for approval. And by the grace of God, received it. And by the grace of God, lives were changed. And lives are being changed. Lives are being transformed. And as you get the Word of God into you, it transforms your life. That's what the Word of God does. As you ask God's presence into your life, it transforms your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Read Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He brings about transformation. In the Greek, it says metamorphosis. God changes us from the inside out. That's what He's about doing. Some of you are saying, Brother Steve, I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, I would say, number one, you need to invite the presence of God into your life, because He is the transforming power and strength. And then, number two, you need to get the Word of God into you, because the Word of God transforms you. It helps bring about this metamorphosis, this transforming power, okay? It transforms you. It changes you. It makes you stronger and stronger. One of the chapters, I'm going to give you some an encouraging advice here before I continue with this conversation with Xerxes. Here's my advice. You need to read some power promises every day. I met one of my, ran into someone who's very dear to me in my life, close to me in my life, I care about very much. Ran into this brother, and I encouraged him, as I encouraged his friend, to read some power promises every single day. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. You know, one of the things that a former governor, Jacob Yang O Mao, shared in his testimony, and if you want to find it, it's out on YouTube, the Beilau Family Hour, and he shared it, it was around mid-July, right around the 16th or 17th, right around in there, that Monday of July. That's the YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube. Beilau Family Hour shares his full testimony. And one of the things that he shared when he was sharing his testimony around Beilau is that his uncle told him, you want something more powerful than drugs in your life? You need to read this Bible. Just read some of it every day. It is powerful, and it will change your life. It will open up doors. You just got to hear his testimony. One of the doors that opened up was the prison door, where his life ended up changing even more, and God blessed him even more. God works in mysterious ways. But this Word of God is powerful, powerful stuff. And one of the things that the Word of God does, and I'm flipping through Psalm 119, because God, the Word of God changes you, and this is what it says. It says, revive me according to your word. strengthen me. In other words, the Word of God, it revives us. It makes us alive. It shakes us up. It strengthens us. It says, make me understand the way of your precepts so I can meditate on your Word. Strengthen me according to your Word. If you want to be strong, you want to be revived, get this Word of God into you. Okay, let's jump back to the story with Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is going to the emperor. It's Brother Steve on Palau Wave Radio in Nehemiah chapter 2. And he asked the emperor for help. The emperor asked, what is it you want? By the way, the emperor looked at him and could tell that he was sad, you know. So God's Spirit, I don't know if you understand this, but you see, God's Spirit was going before Nehemiah because he'd been praying. Because he was crying out to God, our prayers are very powerful, and God does things. And he intervenes in powerful ways, okay, according to his wisdom and timing. So God is intervening by working on the king's heart, by working on the king's eyes, so the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad. That is the Holy Spirit of God working. And all I can say is, as you pray to God and cry out to him in your time of trouble, that God intervenes and he works, and he works oftentimes in using the people that are around us. And so, yes, God is close. And yes, God is our ever-present help. And so the emperor said, what is it that you want? And so he says, I prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said to the emperor, if your majesty is pleased with me, is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so I can rebuild the city. And you know what it says? The emperor, with the empress, that's the king's wife, that's the queen, at his side, listen to this, he approved my request. Period. Dot. I've got it underlined in red in my Bible right in front of me. Why? Because that's powerful. He approved his request. You go down to verse 8, it says, the emperor gave me all that I asked for. He sent army officials and a troop of horsemen with me to make my journey. And it wasn't just him. God moved on King Darius too. God moved on the next emperors as well. And sent a letter. That Emperor Darius, as you go to Ezra, and I know this is in Ezra, a different book here, but it's just the way God moves. God moved on Darius to write a letter, okay? So the local officials around Jerusalem wouldn't stand in the way, because there were lots of people trying to stop Nehemiah, trying to stop Ezra from building the wall around Jerusalem, from rebuilding the temple. And let me tell you what, the adversary, Satan, is at work, and he's at work through his minions. And I'm not talking about those little yellow people in the cartoon movies. Those aren't the minions that I'm talking about. I'm talking about Satan's helpers, all right? That's why we pray against him. And so this Emperor Darius wrote a letter. This is awesome. Let me read for you this letter. This is how God works on our behalf. This emperor wrote a letter to stop the bad people around Jerusalem from getting in the way of the progress of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls. And the whole reason why I'm talking about this story of the walls being rebuilt in Jerusalem and the temple being rebuilt, because it's about God rebuilding our lives. It's about God making us strong. It's about God keeping his promise to help us. And as we go through this story here on Palau Wave Radio, we're reminded how God works in our own lives, how he assures us our help and ever-present help. So this is the letter that now I'm reading, Brother Steve, a reading in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 7. This is the letter from Darius to help the Jews in Jerusalem. And this is the letter he's writing to their enemies to not get in the way. He says, stay away from the temple. Do not interfere with its construction. This is from the king. Let the governor of Judah and the Jewish leaders rebuild the temple of God where it stood before. This is like God saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to stop these bad guys. I hereby command you to help them rebuild it. Wow. Their expenses are to be paid from royal funds received from taxes of the West Euphrates, so that the work is not interrupted. Day by day, without fail, you are to give the priests in Jerusalem whatever they tell you they need. Young bulls, sheep, or lambs to be burned as offerings to the God of heaven, or wheat, salt, wine, or olive oil. This is to be done so they can offer sacrifices that are acceptable to the God of heaven and pray his blessings on me and my sons. I further command that if anyone disobeys this order, a wooden beam is to be torn out of his house, sharpened on one end, and driven through his body. And his house is to be made a rubbish heap. May the God who chose Jerusalem as the place where he is to be worshipped overthrow any king and any nation that defies this command or tries to destroy the temple there. I, Darius, have commanded. My command is to be fully obeyed. Wow. Period. Dot. End of quote. You know, God is good, and he uses the people around us to be a blessing in our lives and in the lives of our friends and in the lives of our families. And God will put a block and a hindrance against his enemies and against our enemies when we're living with the Lord and walking in his ways. That's the kind of God that we serve. He is a God that is near. He is a God that helps us. I want to close by giving you a little encouraging story that was posted by Madi Day, has Expat Radio and her ministry that she does through radio and streaming of talk shows, things to be a blessing to Baylau. She reposted an article, and sometimes she finds these archived articles. And this week, yesterday, actually, she posted an article. It was an article from when my mother was the only Palawan woman in the state of Michigan. Okay, this is a couple decades ago, by the way, when she was the only Palawan there, the only Palawan adult, and felt very much alone because of the addictions that had hit our family and things that were hard. Gave birth to my sister. My parents were, of course, married in Baylau in the church at Sacred Heart Church. And after they had left Micronesia, my father got out of the Navy. This is before he was delivered of his addiction after the Vietnam War. God delivered him from that addiction, blessed his life, just made his life a blessing. But this was a time when my mother was feeling very much alone, being the only Palawan in that entire state. And that state is hundreds of miles long, so she was very much alone there. And she said during that time, she just drew so close to God. She knew that God was with her. He was her ever-present help. And through a series of events, my father's family found out through the newspaper that there was another Palawan woman in the same state, hundreds of miles away, but that was the closest one. And so they arranged for her to visit my mom. And so this article is now on the internet, Palawan Women, you know, Reunited. I think the article name is something like that. And it's now on the internet. And in fact, Talia Nakamura sent it, and Udu and Madide, they had all forwarded me this article. And Goldie Medeb, just some wonderful, dear people to me. And anyway, the whole article is there on the internet. There's a picture of my mom with her friend and my sister who was born. And this the visit happened 10 days after my sister, Lisa Marie, was born. My mother, Marissa Taywid Mapes, was visited by her Palawan friend. And God, I believe, arranged the whole thing to be a blessing to her life. And now this article is there. It's kind of a little word of encouragement. So, and, you know, just to encourage us that we're not alone. Okay? We are not alone. And God is our ever-present help. And he works out in mysterious ways. And we have to be patient, and we have to trust that he's going to bless according to his timing in the right way. He will not let us drown and sink in the deep waters. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. And I'm just going to encourage you to go into this story in Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2 and read it, how God was a blessing and a help to Nehemiah. And God will be a blessing and a help to us too. Because that's the kind of God He is. And He's faithful, and He's forgiving. And He's there for you, and He's there for me. This has been Brother Steve on Palau Wave Radio with the message, Nehemiah, the Assurance of Deliverance. And I also shared for you some wonderful power promises about the assurance of God's deliverance from Psalm 71. I'm going to close by reading this Psalm 71 and Psalm 69. Psalm 71, it says, "My lips shall praise you. I shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, which you have delivered, because He's faithful." That's Psalm 71 and verse 23. And then in Psalm 69, beginning at verse 13, it talks about how our prayers are to God, how He is merciful, how He hears us in the truth of His salvation. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And I just pray this day and this week that God would richly bless you. Adubak lo bungamu. Adubak lo bungamu. Amen and amen.
You just finished listening to Brother Steve's sermon.